The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
I want to get rid of my butt. It's bigger than it would appear. It hinders my forward movement when I keep bringing up the rear.
Stop. Having trouble reducing your butt? That's one T, not two. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9:30 for more fervent stories and titillating topics with Gene Ketchum and C. Suzanne Bates, hosts of Aging But Dangerous Sizzle, broadcasting to inspire women over 50 around the world here on Club 1220 KLBB, where your music and memories live. Log on to agingbutdangerous.com to hear past shows and discover ways you can change your world.
Good morning. I'm Jean Ketchum.
And I'm C. Suzanne Bates. And how are you this fine Saturday morning in the Big Twins?
Well, I am great, but I want you to fess up. I want you to share with our listeners what happened to you the other night after you drank two glasses of wine. Or was it three or four?
No,
What happened?
Why do you always do this to me? Why do you always make me confess on the air? Like,
go ahead. Tell them.
I cut my own hair.
I know. And I'm sitting here looking at it and like...
Well, it seemed like a really good idea at the time. I came home and I looked at my hair. I hadn't had time to get a haircut. You told me it was too long.
I did.
And so I just got my scissors and I was like, crunch. And you know that sound it makes? Crunch, crunch. And you know, I was thinking, you know, well, this doesn't look that bad. But I was really careful not to get any more hair in my wine glass because, you know, it kind of hair was everywhere. So then when I got around to the back... There were a few issues back there, and
well, I guess how can anybody see to cut, you know, cut the back of their hair?
Well, see, when you have a bob, it's different because if you have a bob, then you know it's kind of like the scraggly. Thank goodness the scraggly bob is in because
yes, but Suzanne, we're not talking about. We just tell everybody we're not talking about an inch here. We're talking about 3 inches.
No, that's not
2.5 inches.
No wonder you like your husband's. Oh, sorry.
That is like, it was, well, a good 2 inches. I mean, well, most people, when they cut their own hair, they just kind of trim it. But you really cut.
Okay, well, enough said. I did now, it. I did it. And you know what? It's like it was a little bit of a shock. And then I got up to go to the bathroom during the night. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I had the weirdest dream that I cut my hair. And then the next morning I went in and I'm like, oh crap, I did cut my hair.
Oh, wow.
So anyway.
That's amazing.
Don't tell my kids. I hope my kids aren't listening to
this. Well, they aren't because they never do they? Our kids don't listen.
All right.
So. Well, we're still harvesting, reaping what we've sown and nurtured all these years and what we have fertilized.
Right.
And we have definitely fertilized.
Right. It's like you don't really grow anything when everything is really smooth in your life. That's one of the things I've noticed. And this has been a really great topic. I've pondered this a lot. And it's like when everything is smooth and everything is good. It's you're not really learning the life's lessons, but then it's like when things are, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do know what you're
Why
saying.
Why are you looking at me
and
like
And it's
that?
Like, you know, it's really when we go through that dormant stage, it's like you were talking about how you always think that, okay, life is going well, everything's good, and then you have that jolt. But what I think is so interesting is when we get older, you know, so many times you can look back on that jolt or that really huge thing that happened and you didn't like it when it was happening, but later on you know it was for the best and that's what made you grow.
Right.
And appreciate more.
Right. It made you who you are. Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Is that it's really the trials and tribulations that's the fertilizer, you know, that's kind of the fertilizer that is the really that we learn the most important and valuable lessons in our lives during those times. So I've learned to be very, very grateful for those tough times. If you're out there and driving around, you're in radio land and you're having a tough time, I promise that you'll look back on it and you'll say, wow, you know, this was really a time that I got to be a more full, better person.
And that's what's great about aging. That's one of the great things about aging is that you look back on that and you can see.
Right.
You look back on more of your life
a
as you grow older.
A different perspective. Mm-hmm. So, and gosh, and I just can't tell you how I've enjoyed thinking about this because normally those are the kinds of things that fly right over people's heads. Like if you say harvesting, it's like, but I love the fact that we actually get paid to to absorb these things and to really see our lives from that kind of perspective. So there's so many ways we can sow seeds, and I've just really enjoyed talking about it for the last month.
Well, are you an organ donor?
I am an organ donor.
Our Snoop and Scoop interview today is with Susan Mal Larson, and she's the Director of Public Affairs at LifeSource. And what a great way to sow seeds and pay it forward.
Yes, and there's that voice.
It's your
public radio,
lower.
NPR voice. Okay, well, now it's time for Aging But Dangerous to share their dirty little secrets. Except today, our secrets, our dirty little secrets are going to be just some more information. I mean, I have been very impressed by this organ donor information, and I guess I didn't realize the magnitude. So I think we should share that with the people out there, because the research shows that 98% of Americans know about organ donation, while 90% support it. Only 45% are registered donors, according to the Donate Life America. So 98% know about it, but only. And 90%, I'm going to repeat this because I think it's 90% think it's a great idea, but only 45% are registered donors. That's a crazy statistic.
Well, it's crazy because, unfortunately, in the United States, a person is listed for transplant every 11 minutes. That's 130 people joining the list every day. So it's just very unfortunate that more people don't know about it and not doing it.
Well, and I think that it says that according to the Organ Procurement Transplantation Network, which is a service of the United States Department of Health and Human Services, as of September 13th, there have been 14,105 transplants from 6,961 donors so far in this country. I mean, that's hot information. Those stats are current. And so and that sounds like a lot. But the sad thing is that if you think about 75 people receive organ transplants each day, but 19 people die each day because they're waiting for those transplants. And there are so many donors out there that I just don't think they think to do it.
Oh, I don't think they do either. I don't think they do.
It's critical.
And in 2008, 60% of living donors were women, while 60% of deceased donors were men.
Isn't that, what is that about?
I don't know, but there are the women. And in 2008, 67% of all deceased donors were white, and 16% were black, 14% were Hispanic, and 2.5% were Asian.
But I think you have to put that in perspective. It's like, okay, so 67% of all deceased donors were white, but the national waiting list was made up of 45% white. The donors are white, Caucasian donors. Come down, and 16% were black of the donors, but 29% of the recipients were black, because that's a little off. But then when it came to Hispanics, it was really about even.
But it doesn't matter what you are, right? I mean, your
organs
are the
same. I guess that's true. But what it does show is that there is a lot more progress to be made in every sector.
And in 2008, people who received transplants, 56.3% were 50 or older. That is a very important statistic. That's our age group.
Right. And there are a lot of stats about our age group or older. So, yeah.
Aging But Dangerous, Suzanne, has a full page in Her Life magazine this month.
That's great. It's a great way to find out more about Aging But Dangerous. And we do a lot more things than just a radio show.
And there are like 2,000 places where you can pick up a copy. That is a lot of places, but it's like Kowalski's, the salons, doctor's offices, and boutiques. So keep your eyes open, everyone, and latch onto one.
All right, Great Expectations. You can harvest a great social life by having a conversation with Great Expectations. All you single men and women out there, if you're looking for fun and companionship, which I think we all are basically, Great Expectations has 35 years of experience in matching you to someone that fits your specifications. So if you go to agingbutdangerous.com and you click on Great Expectations, then you can make an appointment to go to their offices. They're in Edina, and they are the nicest people. And so go in and talk to them and stop whining about how hard it is to meet someone. Talking is free, and you can't hurt you. So
my
personal experience has been excellent.
Yes, I know it has. And be sure to tell them that Aging But Dangerous sent you, because you just might get a deal.
Yes, and, you know, you have to look really good when you go on these dates. I mean, it'd be kind of silly not to.
Well, we have to look good anyway. I mean, I'm not dating. I still have to look good. But, yay, I'm really feeling good about my Botox from Transcend MediSpa. I fought that procedure for such a long time, as you know, and now I think I am really hooked. It's really a very, very exciting experience for me. And I think she's got, like, the best prices in town. So go to our website, click on Transcend MediSpa, get an appointment with Laurie, and just, you know, really enjoy this.
Well, and go to www.agingbutdangerous.com to check out our latest blogs, lots of great info, and to sign up for our monthly drawings. And we're going to have our announcement of our September drawings, which is lunch with Rye, with us at Rye, which is a great delicatessen and bar in downtown Minneapolis that we love hanging out. Didn't we have great food the other day?
Yes, we did. And the woman that won is our own Lynn Hardy that just skydived last Saturday.
Oh, that's so cool!
Yes, so Lynn, congratulations.
Oh, I love her.
I know. That's going to be fun. And Christine Morgan. Christine, you won the necklace, that beautiful, beautiful necklace. So we will be in touch with both of you.
Yes, from Bay Street.
From Bay Street Shoes.
Yes. And so, all right. And I love my Volkswagen. Its name is Woo, and it has been ill. I've been so sad because it has been ill this week. And Westside Volkswagen has taken such amazing care of Woo and me. I mean, hospitals for people should be as good to their people as these people have been to me. Anyway, it's been a great experience dealing with Westside Volkswagen, even though it's never fun to have your car fixed up. So anyway, if you're not loving the time that you're spending driving, then you need to go in and drive a car at Westside Volkswagen, and the people are great, and you will love it.
You are listening to Gene and Suzanne telling the dirty, down and dirty little secrets and the truth about aging and many other sizzling topics on Aging But Dangerous Sizzle. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
In a city that's diverse and dynamic, the needs of the people are equally diverse. That's why the Twin Cities rely on the Sisters of St. Joseph Ministries Foundation to urgently address the needs of those who might otherwise go unnoticed and unaided. Those who are homeless or poor, abused or uninsured. But work like this takes lots of resources from caring people like you. To learn more about the work of the Sisters of St. Joseph or to donate, visit us online at csjministriesfoundation.org.
Here at ABD, we think growing older makes you bolder, but only if you have your financial house in order. Yeah, I'm talking about estate planning, ladies. Not your cup of tea? Well, it is for Karen Schottauer at the Lohman Abdo Law Firm. Karen is the estate planning guru at Lohman Abdo. In as little as two simple meetings, she can have this stuff all wrapped up for you, so you can get back to living dangerously. To learn more, check out Lohman Abdo's free estate planning checklist online at MinnesotaEstatePlanningAttorney.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Beatty, a realtor with Edina Realty. If you're anything like me, and if you're listening to this show, I'm guessing you are, then you have some very strong opinions on buying or selling a home. Maybe you're looking to downsize or move in from the suburbs, or like about half of you, looking for a place with fewer stairs. Whatever your next move, after 25 years in real estate, I know this. Everyone's situation is different. That's why I look forward to hearing your needs and fulfilling your goals. So give me a call. I'm Mary Beatty with Edina Realty.
Welcome back to Aging But Dangerous Sizzle. And I've just been so touched by this segment. It has changed a lot of the way I feel about the things that we can do for the good of humankind. And how many times I was thinking about how many times I said, my heart goes out to you.
Yes.
And all you people out there in this vast chasm of radio land, I mean, think about that. How many times have you said to someone, oh, my heart is with you, or my heart goes out to you? And, you know, now that we've been talking about this whole transplant, I mean, organ donors and everything, it's like I've just thought about how you can be a true hero. I mean, your job on this earth is not done just because you're not with us anymore. That's just amazing.
And so, you can really give your heart.
You can really give your heart.
Our guest today is Susan Mal Larson, Director of Public Affairs at LifeSource. And what a great way to sow seeds and pay life forward, Susan.
Yes.
And we would really like to know more about LifeSource and what role they play in donation.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, organ and tissue donation is a gift, and a gift that saves lives of others. LifeSource is a nonprofit organization, and we manage the gifts of organ and tissue donation after death. So when somebody dies in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota, then we work with that family in the hospital to make sure that their gifts of donation are received by people who are waiting for a life-saving transplant.
Yeah, and that's fabulous that we're learning about this and hearing about this now. I am very curious. Since I'm the oldest one sitting here at this table, does it matter?
That's right, and we already have plans for your organs.
Does it matter what age the organs or tissues are? I mean, what if somebody is 60 or 70 years old? Is that, like, too old? Is the organ too old to donate?
Absolutely not. What happens is at the time of death, at the time of donation, we determine the health of the organs, and the physicians do. So there is no age. In fact, many people are very healthy and active for many years, and they can help others. To my knowledge, the oldest donor in the United States was 92 years old, a gentleman in Texas who saved other people's lives Wow. through donation.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about your dad. Your dad would have been, her dad died at 104, and he was so healthy. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
He should have just gone to science in general. But.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. He was. He was just a healthy clear up to the end.
I hope you don't live to be 104. I don't think the world can take it.
If I'm healthy.
Okay, fine.
No, that's what I should be saying to you.
Yeah.
The world could not take it. Okay, what can I do now, Susan, to make sure that I'm helping others at the time of my death?
It's very, very
donation.
Yep.
What can I do?
Very easy. All you need to do is make sure that the box is checked on your driver's license, and that ensures that your wishes to help others through donation will be fulfilled.
Oh, and our young producer, Jenna, who's only 24, just raised her hand and said she's checked it on her driver's license. That's fabulous.
Wonderful.
Jenna.
Thank you, Jenna.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You're very welcome.
Whether mine is or not.
Well, you better be
I'm
checking.
Gonna have to, yeah, I'm going to check.
You can check.
So that's really all you have to do when you're getting your driver's
that's
license.
That's all you have to do.
To check us.
And if you don't want to wait till then, you can go online. Every state has a way online that you can register immediately.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. So walk us through the procedure at the mm-hmm. time of death. Mm-hmm. What do our loved ones do? What do we, you know, what if we want to be cremated, which both of us want to be? Mm-hmm. How does that, what's the procedure here
right.
once we die?
So what happens is when somebody dies in a hospital, the hospital calls LifeSource. So we get about 20,000 calls a year letting us know when there is a death in the hospital. And we will evaluate the potential for donation, and we will go to the hospital and work with the hospital staff, and we will work with the family and provide them support. We will check to see if the individual had donor on their license, and if not, we will see if the family wants to choose donation. And then we will coordinate the recovery of the organs, the surgery, and the transportation to the transplant center. So the family doesn't need to proactively do anything. We will be there to support the family and work with them through this process.
So they can decide, the family can also decide for them if this is
If the person hasn't decided in their lifetime. So if you put donor on your license, that means you have authorized donation and then your wishes can be fulfilled. If you haven't done that, then the decision would be up to the family.
Well, can't you do that in a different, like in your will?
You can. You absolutely can do that in a will or in a health care directive. If, in fact, any legal document, you can do that. The advantage to doing it on online registry or driver's license is that we know that information. If it's in your will, then your family would need to bring that forward.
Right. But if you, and then also just tell everybody. I would think it would be good to tell your whole family, tell everyone around you, make sure my organs get donated.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is actually the most important thing you can do. So they know what your wishes are. They can honor those wishes. And hopefully when you tell them that you want to be a donor, that will inspire them to also choose to donate.
So this is nothing that has to be written down. This can be through word of mouth with your family. It doesn't legally have to be.
To be legal during your lifetime, it has to be written down. If it's not written down, then your family will decide. And we hope that if you told your family that's what you want, then that's what they would decide. They would go along with those wishes.
My sister probably tried to sell my organs on the black market, knowing her.
And I think they'd probably go for a really high price.
Yeah.
Susan, what are organs and tissues the only things that are donated, or do you... there's other things.
At the time of death, it is organs, tissues, and eyes. Cornea. When you are alive, you can actually donate bone marrow. And that is something that helps people. They get a bone marrow transplant if they're suffering from leukemia or other types of blood disease, and that donation occurs during your lifetime. You can also donate a kidney while you're alive. So if you'd like to help somebody in need of a kidney transplant, you can do that while alive. Because we have two, and we only need one.
But you can donate the bone marrow after you die?
No, the bone marrow would be... when you're alive.
Because you have to get the live cells out of the bones.
And then after death, it's...
I don't think you're going to be
a doctor.
You
don't want dead blood cells. Okay. And what kind of support, I know you and I were talking the other day on the phone, what kind of support do you give the families afterwards? I was so impressed with what you do.
Well, thank you. Yes. We have a very extensive program of donor family care. So we have people on staff who are donor family advocates, who are generally social workers or chaplains by training, and they provide bereavement support to families after donation. Including we have events where they can come together and honor and remember their loved one. And we have opportunities for them to just gather and share their loved one's memory and, again, help them through that process and honor and recognize their gift of donation.
Do you ever get this is a terrible question, but do you ever get stacked up on bodies? Do you ever get too many that you can't take care of?
No.
Okay.
Donation is actually...
Because you are the only person.
I don't think they stack them
up.
Whatever.
And it's actually a rare event. And so donation, we work with about 150 organ donors each year.
Oh.
And across our three states. And so if there's somebody who's available to donate, we certainly would support them.
Mm-hmm. You find the way.
We do, absolutely.
Really interesting.
I want to ask a question about when they harvest, and I know you don't like that word harvest, but you know this whole we've been. Why don't you like the word harvest? I think that's important to share because that is a medical term.
It is, absolutely, and I think the reason is because we've actually heard from families whose loved ones were donors that's an uncomfortable word for them because their loved one's gift was just that, a gift, versus it being harvested, and so we don't talk about that term out of respect for them.
Oh, I think that's really
nice that you've
listened.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, am I taking over your questions? Do you want me to be quiet?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So I asked you about this whole competition because I think that I know there is a list you have to be on the way you get to be a donor. And tell us what happens when someone, so you have a liver.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know who gets it, or is that out of your, do you not know?
Right. It is sort of out of, it's not our decision. So there is a national database of 120,000 people who are in need of a transplant. And when there is a donor, we contact that organization and they tell us who the appropriate recipients are. And there's criteria. Certainly has to be a medical match. And then which recipient has probably waited the longest and is the sickest. And then geography plays a role too, because if you have a heart, you don't have a lot of time, so it's harder to send it to Southern California versus Rochester, Minnesota. But they tell us who those recipients are.
And then I know you've seen the Playmate coolers mm-hmm. with the hearts in them. I mean, that's just bizarre to me because it's like, okay, move that beer over, put the heart in. That's kind of what people think about when they think of
it. It is, and that's a small part of what we do, but it's real. So what would happen is, let's say a heart is donated at Regents Hospital, and it's going to the Mayo Clinic, then absolutely it would be packaged very carefully, would need to be in a cooler, and taken down to Mayo Clinic so that it can be transplanted. It does happen.
So there is a life source in all these different, like you have your own territory, and then it's...
Yes, there's 58 in the country. They don't all have the same name.
Okay.
But each state has an online place called Donate Life Minnesota, Donate Life Wisconsin, Donate Life Illinois, that you can get information and register to be a donor.
Well, and I think what's, I ask you about competition. Like, do you have competition? How many? And you said, no, you are really affiliated in some ways with the government, even though you're not.
Right. The government regulates us, and so they determine our service area, and they do that intentionally so we don't compete.
Right. And so is there a black market for organs?
No, not in this country. There is not a black market. Yes.
Gosh, yeah. When you said that, I just got chills.
Yeah. And then they'll be able to grow organs in the future. So hopefully you won't have a job someday.
Right, exactly.
That's our goal, isn't it?
Amazing technology, yes, to help people who are suffering from organ failure. Anything we can do would be great, and they're doing amazing things.
Okay, how do people – give us some information. How do people contact you? Because people out there driving around, and they're thinking, I got to take care of that.
Yeah, if they can remember this, Donate Life Minnesota. So you can go to DonateLifeMN.org, get information and register. There's also Donate Life Minnesota on Facebook, and you can get information there.
Well, I am an organ donor, and I'm proud of it. And I'm going to start telling everybody.
Well,
good.
Surely I am. I mean, I must be.
We'll find out.
I'll check, Susan, right after this.
Yes.
Susan, thank you so much for being
Jean.
With us.
Appreciate
this was so interesting, and I think we just brought a lot of information to the public that maybe they didn't know about.
Wonderful.
So thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
All right. So Windy High Travel is now always take the high road. I love that. And
I know you do.
I'm so impressed with that woman. She has more contacts and she knows such great ways to enable you to travel, keep the cost down, give you great service, and it doesn't cost you any more than going on those websites that you cannot really. So anyway, communicate with anyone. Right. So Windy High Travel, always take the high ride. Go to Aging But Dangerous and click on her website.
And Suzanne, my higher brain living and the training I'm getting there is being used extensively. All right, 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening and a couple of times during the day when needed. And it seems like it's been needed more than usual lately. For me. And it's so important.
Are you going through a lot of crises?
Going through a lot of. So it's important for everybody to see a demo, and because you like it better now that you've seen a demo.
Oh, I totally get it. There's no way you can get it.
Yeah. And so, to really understand what it's all about. And we have Aging But Dangerous has two meetups coming up. One on that you can go see a demo. One is on October the 2nd out in Wayzata. The other one is October 10th in Hudson, which is a spa night. In Hudson, and they're going to be really fabulous. So go to our website, get the information, sign up, and really see what this is all about.
All right, and just a reminder, don't forget to tell our sponsors that you heard about them on Aging But Dangerous Sizzle, and pick up a Minnesota Monthly magazine. It's always juicy and great, great stuff.
And go to Facebook.com/AgingButDangerous and like Aging But Dangerous. We are reaping the many benefits of our wonderful friends out there to please like us. Please, please.
Well, you don't have to get that grovelly.
Oh, I think so.
All right. And thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us. It means a lot to have you here. This has been Jean Ketchum and C. Suzanne Bates on Aging But Dangerous Sizzle, empowering, inspiring, and challenging women all across the globe to be an organ donor. It could be the most important thing you've ever done in your entire life.
And please join us next Saturday at 9:30. And remember, women can do anything they put their minds to, especially at this age. And that is dangerous.
If you're having trouble with the butt in your life, That's one T, not two. Tune in next Saturday and every Saturday morning at 9:30 for more crazy stories and titillating topics with Gene Ketchum and C. Suzanne Bates, hosts of Aging But Dangerous Sizzle, broadcasting to inspire women over 50 around the world here on Club 1220 KLBB, where your music and memories live. Log on to agingbutdangerous.com to hear past shows and discover ways to reduce your butt.
If you're wondering why you just can't seem to catch up, you're moving slow because you're dragging your butt. It's bottoms up now, move on. Quit dragging your butt.
I got the butt thing behind me. Now I'm working on my can.